God's word from the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17. Jesus was saying to the disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It's important for any who hear this that you know what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. And so we have a statement of our faith, this one from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16, wherein we read, "We believe that for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are." It is Memorial Day weekend. This is Memorial Day Sunday. We should talk a bit about the servicemen from Daleville. So here are some names: Henry Stewart, wounded. Marion Stewart, killed. Ephraim Forrest, wounded. Jacob Wable, prisoner of war, wounded twice. Gus Safford, killed. John Hurley, wounded. Amos Gronendike, killed. Some of these names might sound familiar, some of the family names. These men were all from this area. The Stewart brothers lived just 3 miles east of Daleville. Ephraim Forrest lived out by District Schools 11 and 12. Jacob Wable lived here in town. Gus Safford lived out at Crossroads. John Hurley lived right down the road here, right down the road from the church. Amos Gronendike's family owned ground near Crossroads, but lived closer to Sulphur Springs in Henry County. So you didn't know these men. They've all been gone for many years. You see, these are some of the men from here who fought in the American Civil War. I'd like to tell you a little more about them. Marion Stewart was an early casualty of the war. He was killed just 6 days after his 20th birthday. But that didn't keep his younger brother, Henry, from wanting to join the fight. So when Henry Stewart's time came to serve, Henry eagerly went. Marion died in July. So it was August when Henry went off to war. Just a month had passed since his brother's death. Henry was binding some grass for feed, and his father was driving the reaper. His uncle Jonas came and took his place and told him they'd sent for him to go into the service. He went past where his father was, and his father gave him $5. He had enlisted at Middletown and went from there to Indianapolis. He had joined the cavalry. In one skirmish his unit was in, Henry's horse was shot out from under him. The horse died. Henry was wounded in the shoulder. Another soldier in that same action with Henry was killed. Ephraim Forrest was wounded at the Battle of Lookout Mountain near Chattanooga, Tennessee. Jacob Wable was taken prisoner at the Battle of Chancellorsville in Virginia. Being a prisoner probably saved his life. Because he was taken prisoner, he missed the Battle of Gettysburg. Because in the Battle of Gettysburg, half of Jacob Wable's unit didn't survive the battle. John Hurley's unit was guarding trains. And one day they were riding on top of one of the train cars as they were guarding, which is how you would guard a train as it was moving down the track. So you could be a lookout on either side of the train for those who might want to shoot up the train. Well, as they were riding and guarding, the train came under attack. This happened near Memphis, Tennessee. John Hurley was hit in his right limb. When he reached the hospital at Memphis, it was found that he had 23 holes in his clothes. Although only the one shot had taken serious effect, John Hurley had also sustained 4 flesh wounds. I haven't mentioned Oliver Carmichael. He was from Muncie, but he became a preacher. There were several Sundays he preached right here in this building on these grounds. He was a soldier before he was a preacher. He was a sergeant in the Indiana Volunteers in the Civil War. As a sergeant, he would have had a captain, maybe 2 lieutenants leading the 100 men of his company. Sergeant Carmichael wasn't killed or wounded, but after the first morning's fight at the Battle of Gettysburg, where only 23 of his men were able to go in, only 5 came out. Sergeant Carmichael was now their commander. Everyone else was killed or wounded. It is the 150th anniversary of the American Civil War. The northern states went to war in order to preserve the Union. The Confederate states had attempted to break away from the Union and be their own new country. And the reason the southern states wanted to break away was slavery. Even if slavery was not the number one reason for the Salem Township soldiers to fight, one thing is for sure: to fight for the Union also meant a united country without slavery. Abraham Lincoln was not a pro-slavery president, and his election platform did not include the continuation of slavery. The southern states knew that and attempted to withdraw from the Union as soon as Lincoln won the election. And then the war began. The election had been in November. The war began the next April. Slavery was a horrible institution. We know this for many reasons. Many slaves attempted to run away. In running away, they risked death. They risked punishment if caught and severely whipped as an example to all other slaves. Some died from the whipping. Many laws had to be passed to help the slave owner find and retain any runaway slaves. One report I read said there was as many as, at any one time, thousands of slaves on the run throughout the South. So when the Civil War was over, slavery had been abolished and citizens' rights were granted to former slaves. And most of us think of slavery as being over. The war was fought, the war was over, slavery is over. But slavery is not over. With the victory in the American Civil War, the union of this nation was preserved, but slavery still exists. And slavery exists all over the world. Let me quote to you Carol Smolensky, whose organization fights child trafficking. I can tell you definitively that the sexual exploitation of children takes place in every country. Many nations are in denial about it. I've learned after 22 years of working on this issue, the first conversation in any country starts with the phrase, "Oh, but we don't have that problem here." I admit, and Carol Smolensky would admit, that today's slavery doesn't look like old world slave trade. But the most conservative estimates worldwide puts 21 million people as the current number of people who are in involuntary servitude. The chains that people wear are not made of iron. The chains they wear are mostly economic and psychological. Just so you understand this issue, I would point to you some other recent cases of slavery in this country. And here are their names: Elizabeth Smart, Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, Michelle Knight, and J.C. Dugard. Their cases are well known. Let me share some of their story. Elizabeth Smart was 14 years old when she was kidnapped from her Salt Lake City bedroom in the early morning hours of June 5th, 2002. Kidnapping victim Elizabeth Smart says she survived her 9-month ordeal and ultimately aided her own rescue by following her captor's orders and manipulating them into bringing her closer to home. Things that I'd always told myself I'd never do, I would do them if it meant I would survive, she said. If it meant that one day I would be able to get back home and be with my family again, I would do it. At one point during her captivity, Elizabeth Smart told herself, "I am broken beyond repair." I said a few moments ago that today's slaves don't wear chains. I stand corrected on that. Elizabeth Smart says she was chained to a tree and abused. J.C. Dugard was snatched from her Lake Tahoe, California home in 1991 at the age of 11. She spent 18 years in a backyard shack at the home of her perpetrators, the Garridos. 18 years. And there she was repeatedly raped and gave birth to two of her captors' children. Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, Michelle Knight, three young women who disappeared in the early 2000s, emerged from the Cleveland home of Ariel Castro in May 2013, just a year ago. Michelle Knight, Georgina DeJesus, and Amanda Berry were chained up, raped, tortured for a decade. Berry gave birth to her captor's child. Castro committed suicide in prison after being sentenced to life, plus 1,000 years. Michelle Knight was abducted as an adult. She was raped and made pregnant by her perpetrator. She was made pregnant at least 4 or 5 times. At that point, her captor would beat Michelle Knight until she miscarried. 4 or 5 times. Amanda Berry was abducted one day before her 17th birthday. During captivity, Berry gave birth to her captor's child. Another captive, Michelle Knight, was told that she would assist the birth, and that if anything happened to the baby, Ariel Castro would kill Michelle. Amanda Berry, along with Michelle Knight and Gina DeJesus, escaped on May 6, 2013, just over a year ago, found within 3 miles of where they had disappeared, in Cleveland, Ohio. Slavery still exists in this country, and slavery is still horrible. It will never be legislated out of existence. There have been legal cases in the last 2 years and even some well-known sensationalized stories of people kept against their will, imprisoned by their captors, sexually abused. In one recent case, the person enslaving the other would take their Social Security checks and cash them for their personal use. Sometimes these people are mentally challenged individuals, kept captive, sometimes chained up, their money stolen. And it would go on for years. There have been cases in Indiana. Just last July, the FBI staged a 3-day action that found 105 children in 76 cities in this country, all victims of trafficking, all being exploited, all of them enslaved. But first of all, you must believe that it can happen here, and it does happen here. If you insist that these situations cannot happen here, I'm an historian. I know that the German people said the very same thing before World War II. With regard to the crimes against their own citizens, people would say, oh, that can't happen here. But it did happen. It does happen. And it happens here. I didn't want to quote a lot of statistics to you this morning. I wanted to share human stories because slavery is a human tragedy. But maybe we need to hear some statistics. I've talked about children, but worldwide, children 18 and younger only make up 1/4 of all slavery victims. Victims are usually in forced labor for over a year and a half. That's average. And I hope you remember that the group responsible for taking the Nigerian schoolgirls hostage, that group has threatened to sell the schoolgirls into slavery. Again, we must remember, their threat is real. Because there are buyers for human slaves. The seller is wrong. The buyer is wrong. The seller is a criminal. The buyer is a criminal. The Civil War soldiers whose names I have recited to you who lived here, some died, many were wounded. They suffered this in order to end slavery in this country. They did their part. Are we doing ours? We owe it to the women's names I have listed, and we owe it to the names of our soldiers to bring an end to slavery in our day. How do we do that? There is much that the followers of Jesus can do to end slavery. We fight slavery by what we believe, first of all. And what is it that we believe? Well, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And therefore, we don't do what we want. We do what the Lord wants. And that means that we don't make others do what we want. We want other people to do what the Lord wants. And so that means we don't enslave people. We don't exploit people. It's not allowed. It's not an expression of the love of God through Jesus Christ, whom we claim is our Lord. What can we do about slavery? We do something about it with what we believe, and we do something about it with what we practice. We practice respect for all people, men, women, and children. They have rights to which they are entitled, and they have love. They should have love from us because of Jesus Christ, but they certainly have God's love. And we also fight slavery with what we teach. We teach the value of each person as a creation of God with a spirit that God put there. We respect each person as being made in God's image. We teach that people are never our tools for us to use, abuse, or exploit. And we teach that Jesus changes our hearts so that we can love others, even our enemies. And because Jesus changes our hearts, we will not exploit other people, use them, or enslave them. We fight slavery with what we teach as followers of Jesus. And we fight slavery with what we allow. How many neighbors and people saw these slaves whose names I have mentioned, but couldn't believe that they were seeing slaves? If you can believe slavery exists, then maybe you could see and call the authorities when you have suspicions. We cannot practice and we cannot allow the practice and exploitation of other people. We can fight slavery not only with what we don't allow, but we support, we fight slavery with what we support. We support the teachings I've outlined and the practices I outlined, but there are organizations dedicated to stopping the horror, which is worldwide. There are a number of Christian organizations, and there are other organizations as well. The Elizabeth Smart Foundation exists to prevent and stop predatory crimes that I have spoken about. They work to empower children through education and understanding of choices and options. We also support law enforcement in the rescuing of victims. They also work to keep funding for supporting the prosecution of internet crimes against children. Perhaps you've noticed, I always do, because I went to school with our present United States Attorney, Joe Hogsett. He's been instrumental in bringing sex offenders dealing in child pornography to justice. You who are not computer savvy must believe me when I say that these are terrible crimes, and these crimes can mean a lot of money for those who commit these crimes. It was just 3 months ago that Joe Hogsett announced the sentencing of Avon resident William Donald Horner, age 58, sentenced to 70 months in federal prison after his admission of guilt to charges that he possessed child pornography. But as a person who owned child pornography, William Donald Horner made a market for child pornography. Child pornography exists because men like William Donald Horner will buy child pornography. Children are hurt and exploited because someone will buy children's hurt and exploitation. The article went on to say, this prosecution comes as the U.S. Attorney's Office has recommitted to Operation Community Watch, a federal effort that aims to reduce the abuse of Hoosier children through innovative investigative techniques and aggressive prosecution. You and I can support that effort. One other point about Elizabeth Smart, who is now 26 years old. She said in an interview, "I think a few people might look at me and almost not believe what I say." Smart attributes much of her recovery to her faith, writing, "She never felt closer to God than I did throughout my nightmare with my perpetrator." She told Anderson Cooper, "Her focus now is to help other victims. I want to reach out to those survivors and those victims. I want them to know that these things do happen." Hear what she says. Elizabeth Smart says, "These things do happen, and they happen in our country. They happen in our cities and in our towns, in our communities." But Elizabeth Smart finishes saying, "But that doesn't mean we have to be defined by that the rest of our lives. We can move forward, and we can be happy." One more comment from a former slave. It demonstrates the power of our Lord that I spoke of last time. It is a power beyond our understanding. Michelle Knight, who was held captive for 11 years, said about her escape, "It was a miracle, and I thank God every day for bringing me back. So now I can share my story and let other people know they can have the strength that I had." She went on to say, "It's an emotional roller coaster. I made it. I'm here. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I'm a stronger woman." When Michelle was asked about her perpetrator, who is now dead, Michelle Knight said, "I'm okay with him. I forgive him for what he has done. I am in awe of her words. I praise the Lord that made those words possible, and I dedicate myself to fighting human slavery in my generation, just as Salem Township men fought slavery in their generation." Amen.